Broadcasting from the Ketchus Law Studios, no fee unless you win. It is Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson here on 93.7 WEEI. And after a really great weekend for the Red Sox, I really don't know how it could have gone much better. This time tomorrow, we're close to this time tomorrow, on 2:30, Chad Tracy will be joining us in one of the rare appearances that's going to actually have a lot of good stuff to talk about. It's not going to be as depressing as it usually is. By the way, Chad Tracy, my man, he's got to watch his mouth. Somebody's going to get
potty
fined
mouth. Yep.
With such a potty mouth. Let's take a listen to him afterwards. He was very, very dirty.
Jeez, so whiz. Jeez, oh whiz. Yeah. You guys had to erase your articles and rewrite them, didn't you? delete. Right.
He's been hanging out with Brad Stevens too much.
Dropping cheese a whiz.
Just he's, like his dad.
Times are good.
Jim
yep.
Tracy, just like
geez.
That.
Yep. Yeah, well, oh, yes. Well, with us right now is Mr. Rob Bradford. Baseball Isn't Boring, WEEI.com. And he got to spend some time with Roman Anthony. And Roman Anthony, I mean, listen, the dude obviously probably feels crappy that he's not out there playing. He seems like a dude that just loves playing the game of baseball, but I don't know what's going on. It's an injury that I'm finding very hard to understand. All I know is that whenever you think something positive is about to happen, we end up hearing a report that no, nothing positive is happening. It's just basically not as, don't call it a setback, it's just not moving forward. So Rob, you spent time with him. What did he say about what's going on with his situation and how he feels kind of being on the sidelines during all this?
Yeah, I mean, I do think it's sort of a unique situation, and I think it's been documented about how unique sort of this injury has been. But one of the things, one of my takeaways was how he admitted that, because I think that when I talked to him, whenever that was, a month or so ago, and it seemed like, okay, he was swinging, it's around the corner, and then it goes the other way. He treated this like an injury like you a young person treats an injury. I'm going to power through it. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to put the pedal to the metal like a lot of people want you to do. And I think that that's where this injury, it made it take a turn for the worse, or certainly not a turn for the better. Like, remember, he took a cortisone shot. He thought that was going to fix it. It probably made it worse, honestly, because you actually use it when you shouldn't be using it. And I do think I watched him in the outfield yesterday. You talked to him yesterday. I do feel like he feels like it's getting really, really close in terms of being able to feel good about swinging a bat. And guys, like, this is what it comes down to, is that Caleb Durbin can dislocate his finger and he can swing a bat and he feels good. He feels good about hitting the baseball. And that's why he hits a home run. It doesn't matter who you are or what you have. If you do not feel good about when you get up there, feel like that you can actually be yourself and do the job, then you aren't going to be the best version of you, or not even close to the best version, a palatable version of yourself. And I think that that's what we're dealing with here, because ultimately they need the best version of everybody, including the best version of Roman Anthony. And I don't think the guy that you roll out right now would be the best version of Roman Anthony.
You put a timeline on it at all, Rob? What do you think? Like, what's your guess?
No, dude, like, they are freaked out about timeline.
Oh, yeah.
But just, I want the Bradford timeline. If you had to guess.
No. I said to him yesterday, I said, watching him feel and seeing, like, his attitude, and I think he is a little bit optimistic, but there is no timeline until he picks up the bat, swings it, and still doesn't have that pain. Like he said, that it feels better, that it's getting better, that it actually feels a lot better than it does a couple weeks ago, whatever it is. That's all well and good, but, you know, we start until you get up there and you're like, okay, here you go, you're hitting pitches. And no, I mean, that's just not happening right now. And you know, because, as he said, I think he had the line, I think, it's a stupid finger. Like, it's a stupid finger. And to think that this is holding him back because of this, but that's the reality. He knows it's a reality. We should all know it's a reality, and it is what it is for now.
Can I ask? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ted.
Oh, just real quick. Just Bradfo, should we give a little mea culpa to Breslow? I mean, you look at Caleb Durbin. You go, in the last four games, he's got six hits, four RBIs, and a home run. And we know he's a stellar defensive player. Now his bat's starting to been getting hot there for a while. How would you describe Caleb Durbin right now?
Yeah, I mean, Durbin's one of them, Ted, right? Durbin's absolutely, if you want to play the Bregman game, like not even close, like Caleb Durbin the last month has been far and away better than Bregman. Bregman's having a tough season. I was talking with someone who covers the Cubs yesterday, and he's just like, he's not hitting the ball hard at all. But, you know, it's, hey, listen, he might turn it around. I don't know. But I think when you talk about mea culpa for Breslow, I still say it's going to be a results business. As I guess, and ultimately, this is, once he fires Cora and all those coaches, I don't care how many good acquisitions you have. Mm-hmm. It's a results business. But if you want to play the game of guys that he acquired, man, like, he had a much better offseason than we thought. Because you got Durbin, who looks like to be a really, really good player. You have Ranger Suarez and Sonny Gray. Holy mackerel, like, no. They've been all-star level. You have Wilson Contreras, who should be an all-star, like, across the board. But you can't ignore the fact of that you're still 10 games under 500, even with all those things. And I think a big reason you are that way is because you didn't get the most important thing, which was the no-doubt-about-it bat in the middle of the lineup. So I think you give Breslow a lot of credit across the board for all these guys, including Durbin. But still, once again, results business, you're 10 games under.
So, Rob, what does this mean ultimately for – I mean, does it mean anything that they're going to change their opinion on what they were going to do with the trade deadline? How much more do they have to win? How much closer do they have to get to 500? Did it change anything, this sweep this weekend?
Yeah, I think Rich, that you go back to the Sam Kennedy, where we might have to pivot. Well, they have their feet firmly in the ground, put it that way. As a connoisseur of a great pivot in the great game of basketball, I can tell you, they are just in a triple threat position, standing still. And that was a terrible analogy. That
I like it. I get it.
But I would just say this, is that he talked about running his own race, right? And that's what they've done. That's what they'll continue to do. I talk about these four series leading into the All-Star break. You have the Nationals, then you have Anaheim, then you have the White Sox, and then you have the Mets. And where you come out of that, like, you should have a really, really good idea of what you have and what you're all about. And I don't want to hear about, oh, well, you have 80 games left. You don't. You basically have a few weeks to define whether or not you're going to trade Chapman, you're going to trade Gray, you're potentially going to trade Contreras, and you're going to pivot that way. But right now, as we sit here, I think that they're just going to hold firm and see how this plays out over the next few weeks.
Rich, do you want my big theory on this?
Ooh, let's hear it.
Okay, so your reality is you have a 26% chance to make the postseason today. You're 4.5 games back. Mm-hmm. You know, the evidence is in. The offense stinks. You need a bat. So you do both. The apples in my eye, shortstop Jeremy Peña, Houston, or Byron Buxton, center fielder, Minnesota Twins. You trade for those guys with prospects, and you force them to take whichever one you get, either Durant or Yoshida or Story, some combination of they take them off your hands. But you trade your surplus of pitching. You bite the bullet with Chapman. You get something for him. Mm-hmm. Whitlock, Coulomb, all these guys that are accessory pitchers that you can backfill. You replace some of the prospects you give up with these guys, and you correct the course. You're heavy pitching. Mm-hmm. Give up a little pitching. Get a little hitting. Bradfo? What do you think?
Thoughts.
All right, Ken, I like you personally.
Yeah.
I respect your opinion, and it's your prerogative to be wrong. So, listen, first of all, you mentioned two teams, right? The Astros and the Twins.
Right.
Who right now, they have a hard time selling because they're, what, a game and a half, game and a half out themselves?
Yep.
So if it changes, then fine. You know, and the Red Sox take off and they want to start allocating prospects for those, they're fine. I think that the one thing, like you mentioned, what they need, like to get what they need. And if you trade Gray, if you trade Chapman, if you make deals, the one thing that you have to start doing is getting bats in the system, like upside bats. They drafted so many pitchers, and that's why they have these pitchers. They've done a good job developing, but when they needed bats, they didn't have the guys to call up and say, all right, here's the next wave of Roman Anthony or whoever. That's just – they need those guys in whatever trades they're going to make. So, yeah, I mean, I'm all for – I'm Ken, I love the Carlos Santana example. Mm-hmm. A year – or what was it, 2022, the Seattle Mariners, they're in the same spot as the Red Sox. They traded for a complimentary piece in Carlos Santana, and next thing you know, they go 20-5 because he fits so perfectly, and he was exactly what they need. It doesn't have to be the Peñas. It doesn't have to be the Buxton. But to show the team that, hey, here's a little push. Here's a little carrot. And I wouldn't be against that at all. And you wouldn't have to give up a lot. And if you did, and it doesn't work out, you still have time to reverse course.
Okay. I just know that the minute you said Carlos Santana, I just thought about this team being super smooth.
That's what I thought. He's playing tonight. I was like, man, the guitars.
That's Xfinity Center tonight. Santana and Doobie Brothers.
Did he just pivot to a guitar?
You don't think I do that? I mean, I was about to drop a Doobie Brothers reference on you, too.
Oh, drop it. Yeah. The best.
Michael McDonald, the all-time great backup cameo singer of any genre anywhere.
Taking it to the streets, baby, tonight.
All right, we're Rob Bradford. Great stuff. Baseball isn't boring. WEEI.com. The man is everywhere. And, you know, be nice to him. It'll give you a hat as long as he gets complete total access to it at any point.
Give me an interview and I'll give you a hat. Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, Rob. Great stuff. Thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it. All right, Ted. I can't wait to get your opinion on this. This is something I saw at the end of last week, and I have been holding on to it, my friend. One of your favorite players in the entire NFL is getting slandered. Absolutely.
Okay.
Unlike Jaylen Brown's people, I will state the source. Good. One of your favorite players is getting demolished in the press.
All right.
And we'll get to that. We're not going anywhere. 2 minutes. We'll be back with that.